Welcome to Love Live Life Podcast. I'm your host, Yuko Kudo, an artist and storyteller. Here on this podcast, you can connect with the like-hearted people one story at a time. The conversations focused on art, people, and social good. Special thanks to Prime Produce Apprentice Cooperative, Guild for Good, here in the heart of New York City. I see you, I hear you, I love you. Because we need each other more than ever, and we don't have to do it alone. So now, let's connect. In this episode, I invited Polina Marinkovic, an artist, storyteller, and a climate change advocate. Here's Polina.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Polina. And I am so excited to have this conversation. And before we dive into anything, let's be a human first. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's my honor. I've been listening to all of your podcasts. So now that I'm in it, it's like, you know, when you watch a movie and then you're like, now I'm in it. So it's very exciting. Yes, I'm honored. And thank you for asking how I am. I'm good. I've noticed a lot of people ask like, how are things? But not many people ask, how are you? So good. Thank you for asking that. How are you?
I am good. Thank you for asking too. And I love what you said, how are things versus how are you? I think that is such a clear distinction, yet people use kind of flip-flop in a sense. So yeah, let's be a human. Let's be a human and keep checking in with each other. Okay, so I have lots of questions. That's a fun question. How do you describe yourself in three words? And what is a fun fact that most people don't know about you?
Three words. I would say I'm definitely quirky, witty, and I would say alive. I love to feel alive, no matter what it is. So I think those words, as of now, right now, pop in my head.
I love that. Yeah, we can't take that for granted though, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And what is a fun fact that most people don't know about you?
Fun fact. So I don't know if it would be like fun fact, you know, because most people don't know like the weird things of people, you know, but I could say it could be something like I've dived with sharks.
What?
Yeah, on Australia and Cairns. A lot of fun. Yeah, I would say that could be it. I would definitely do it again. It's amazing. Also, the feeling of just being like shut off and all you hear is just the water and you breathing. It's a pretty amazing experience. So yeah, let's choose that one.
Were you scared at all?
No, actually I wasn't. I was actually cold.
That's valid. That's very valid.
Yeah. So the water is there actually a deceivingly cold as you descend lower and lower into deeper, let's say, you know, so the water, the currents get colder. And I did not expect that. And I get cold very easily. So I kept on telling myself, I'm not cold. I'm not cold. But that was the most uncomfortable thing I feel from the whole experience.
And yet we're in New York City, right?
Yes, right now in New York City, supposedly city that never sleeps. But as we know, it's been sleeping for a little bit.
It's been different for sure. Yeah, so you and I, we met during this COVID time. So e-met, that is probably the right word. And during the event at Be Social Change, shout out to our friend Marcos and Jen Leshensky from the Be Social Change. It is an amazing group of people who are committed to being a social change. I was so excited when we started talking and I learned that you are also immigrant to United States. You are Chilean Croatian origin. Another thing that really fascinated me is your background. I'm always fascinated when people integrate different areas of their life or different sectors. And in your case, that's art and science. And how was it like for you to be an artist, environmentalist, especially now in the United States?
Yes, that's a great question, a big question. It's definitely been difficult to be and do both things. I feel like a lot of people live in the idea that you have to be one thing. And then if you do one thing, you become really good at the just that one thing. And then that's who you are. Like, it defines you as a person. And then that's what you do. And then you retire and you leave Earth. At some point you die. And then that's who you are. So it's a lot of criticism from that point on, like, why are you not doing just that one thing? And I get that from both sides, like the artistic side and also the science side. And it's hard for me to choose one because I get so much fulfillment from a different way from both. And at some points I did get stuck just in one field and then in the other. And I felt, and I did feel that longing that I still wanted more and I needed that other side. So I felt when I have both worlds, I realize that what you're doing doesn't really define you as a person. And I feel it's very hard for people to understand that, especially in the world we live in, a society defined by careers and what you're doing. And I'm defined as for so many other things. I'm so much more than just that one thing I'm doing. So I feel like I am defined as alive and like the impact that I'm having while I'm existing to the maximum capacity that I can exist on this world. And when I'm trying to do that, then that's how I want to exist, doing these two things, and that don't define me. And I think that once I realized that, it was easier to actually let go, and it became easier actually to be an artist and express these other things. And in terms of the sciences, I feel it depends whom and with whom and where I'm working with and what projects, but sometimes you get some limitations on, you know, expressing yourself because it's more scientific and business related and consulting. But it would be, you know, eventually, and I've been trying to do this, and we were talking about that the other day on mixing climate change and sciences and the power to create a change with arts. And I think that eventually that can push different boundaries. But it's been a very enriching experience to learn and have this different, and especially like challenges coming from people saying, oh, you shouldn't, why are you doing art if you're not specializing more on this or this techniques or data analytics for climate change or, you know, whatnot, you're not going to become better at it. And vice versa, like people, and especially people that have been acting since then, they've been, I don't know, 5 years old or younger, like, well, this is my life. I will give my life. And I'm like, well, I'm happy for them. And it's great that people feel like that. I feel like you can give your life to a cause and to existing, having a good impact. So it's, I feel there's a lot of limitations in life that are more psychological rather than actual tangible limitations, you know? So life will put obstacles, but we will put our limitations in our mind.
Few things there, right? Few things, like, we cannot define who we are by doing like what we do. That is so true. Especially nowadays, a lot of us are multi-hyphenated, right? This, and this, like, and the dash keeps going. And everybody is so passionate. And as an artist, like you mentioned, we are using the creative way to express, and that's using our vehicle, and it's mine. So I love that. Which one came first? Did one came first, or were you always been passionate about both?
Yeah, I've always felt inside I was passionate about arts. I remember when I was very little, around like 5 years old, I wanted to be a tango dancer and a ballerina, and I would draw and dance and around the house and paint. And I loved writing stories. So I would create this imaginary magical world, especially because I grew up in a place where like we didn't have, you know, Nintendo and like all the gadgets and technology. And also, you know, like cable TV. I didn't have all those things and computers and smartphones. So I grew up being with nature a lot, and all this imagination would come through and create all the stories. So I wanted to do something in the arts, but it was more limited from my family's perspective on like, well, that's, you know, not going to contribute too much on creating a future that is going to be reliable for you. And that would be, you know, financially economically and structurally with what goes with the norms of society.
Right. That's the limitation in our mind.
Right, right. But that comes from when you're a kid and you're being told these things, then that's what you're being taught. So you're like, oh, that's the right thing. Okay, so I'll just do that. And like, there's also your family and your parents. So you say, okay, well, I have to make sure that I'm up to their expectations. Like I grow up to their expectations to make sure that I fulfill their expectations.
Right, especially in a small town, the expectations you have from your family.
And especially when my family, like they've been all those different struggles, and I don't like come from a family that is like, you know, renowned or has like all this money and we own this or that or our company. So it's when your family pretty much says like, we have sacrificed our lives for you to be the one that has an education, it puts a lot of pressure on you to be like, oh my God, okay, I have to make decisions. And I feel like that's when I started dropping the art part. And then I moved to the United States when I was 18. I actually moved like 4 days after, so I turned 18.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so when I got here, I was not quite sure what I was going to do yet. So I applied to schools and I realized that the structures of schools here, it's very different to Chile. So in Chile, you have to know exactly what you're going to do right out of the bat. And here you can actually, the first year you can dabble into different things and then figure it out. I'm like, okay, well, I'll see what I can take. And I took hardcore things at first. It was all like sciences, statistics and math and all the basic requirements too. And I said, okay, well, whatever I find that could be good from this, I'll just, you know, choose from there. And I took this class. And first of all, it was a huge cultural impact on me. I ended up moving to Massachusetts in Cambridge. It's a little, very picturesque town. So I ended up getting into Harvard and I moved there and I was trying to socialize, but inside I was very afraid that I was so different from everybody else.
Hmm.
And I was also studying in a different language. So it actually took me longer to go through all the material. And the way that I grew up, I realized was also very different than the way that other people grew up. It was very hard. I got very homesick. So I ended up taking this class. I remember these two courses. One was on reforestation and ecology. And it included actually going to forest and sites and doing the studies on site and interacting, like doing tree counting and all this like data analytics and statistics based on what we found on site and research. I'm like, this is great. I get to go to the forest. And this other class was very similar, but we would go to the beaches nearby. And I really enjoyed the idea in my head. I was like, wait, this is like when I was back in Chile and like in nature and climbing trees and getting in the mud. And I'm like, I get to go to the beach and like, and the forest. Yes, let's get into those courses. So that's how I enrolled and ended up there. Was I feel seeking something that I was familiar with. And as I went through these courses, I really became passionate about how we were all intertwined and interact with the environment. And I started learning more about climate. And then it kind of like, it rippled. I opened the Pandora box of like learning about the sciences. And then I went into ocean currents, climate change, and the science part, the analytics part, and then the project management of how can we have a better impact from a sustainability point of view. And then it started being very enriching. So I was like, okay, this is going to be my concentration. So that's, I feel, when I like decided that I wanted to be an environmental manager and be in the industry of, you know, advocating and fighting climate change. I think that that's what started it. But then I still had that little yearning. So I remember once I got all my requirements done, and like some additional, you know, extracurricular activities, I still had some extra credits to fill. And I found this like musical theater courses and like art. I'm like, okay, well, I fulfill my cards. Let me just take these. But I never took it seriously. I took it as like something that I could just do because I was doing good in the other area. And I remember being feeling that I had to be secretive about it. And I started taking tango classes. And my mother would ask me like, how are classes going? And like, I would never even share that I was doing those classes. And for some reason, I felt the need because of how I grew up and everything, that it was almost like some kind of level of shame that I couldn't share that. And that it was just not up to their expectations. So I was not sharing that. And then, but I still kept it and I really enjoyed it. And then I moved to New York City and I kept dancing tango. I was dancing a lot. And I feel like that's when I realized also that I still needed a little bit of that other world.
It is so beautiful. And I can totally relate to the feeling of missing home and the simplicity and the nature that it's so deeply ingrained in your body in the cellular level. This is something only nature can do. Nothing else can do it. I moved to Los Angeles when I was 19, so I can totally relate to that.
That's like a New York City, but you need a car and it's tougher.
Right. And it's completely different. And I can't imagine how it's what like in Cambridge. And it's so different.
I mean, it literally looks like how you see it on the movies is very picturesque. And it looks like it's out of a story the way that it is. And it's like so nice. But like when you are from a place that is like so different and you're by yourself and you don't know anybody, it's exciting yet overwhelming, and it becomes like an inner conflict. I feel that then you blame yourself for, like, you know, why, like, not fitting in. But it's beyond that, because we humans are so complex. So there is like all this like subconscious that actually knows that you're not the one to blame. We just grew up differently and in a different environment. So it was interesting. And I mean, I wouldn't obviously change a thing. It appears that everything that at least I have gone through in life later on, even if I didn't learn something in the moment, sometimes it's months or years that then I'm like, oh my God, if that had not happened, I wouldn't have this idea, this knowledge, or this wisdom. It's an opportunity for us to see that that is the reason why things happen, for us to just learn from it.
Yeah, and it's such a blessing that we get to see things that way, because we can easily get caught up in, why did this happen to me, and just ponder on that for a very long time and suffer from it and drag that through for a very long time. And right, and so when we get to see, oh, this is why this happened, hence I'm here, and being able to connect those dots, that is a pretty cool feeling, and I love that. And humans are complex, truly, totally, especially in New York City. And you touched on something that I'm very, very curious to see what exactly you mean by that. Having a shame of being an artist. Can you talk a little bit about that?
You know, one time somebody told me, oh, okay, well, maybe you should have a different name for being an artist and have your website with your different artist name. So like that, when people Google you, both worlds won't crash and it's like separate. I laughed inside and then outside. I thought it was a little funny that in my head, I was saying, but wait, it's the same person though.
Right.
And I see that from both worlds. People would think that artists are way more open to like, oh yeah, like you know, we're expressing, can do different things, but you would think so, but no. I've gotten that from both worlds. And they would say, okay, well, you don't want to go around saying that you do this. And then the other world says the same thing. You don't want to go around saying you do this. Like people, let's say I'm in working in a consulting project for some sustainability initiative. And the person that knows me there, and let's say they know that I'm doing some acting and comedy that night somewhere, and they say, well, I wouldn't share that, you know, because it's like a serious environment. And it's very interesting how people defined you based on other things that you're doing outside of that one thing you're doing now or for work. You know, the other day I met somebody, he was telling me that he works in a lot of business and data analytics. So we got into this conversation about some business opportunities and such. Later on, that person told me that they actually do this digital art and they created a cartoon. And I was like, this is amazing. And I love it when people have that outlet on their, you know, to express themselves. I feel like it activates your brain and it harnesses more power to be more creative. And it's almost like you add more energy to those neurons that are also creating for like the more serious jobs. You know, so if you're able to express yourself, it's like you're re-energizing yourself constantly. It's like a positive feedback loop. I think that when you're able to feel comfortable in your skin and also share what you do, then doing what you're doing in both worlds has a better product and result because you're not restricting yourself.
Exactly. Oh, this is so good. It's exactly what you said earlier, right? You're not defined by what you do, who you are being in this planet right now. And if you shut off one part of your talent or your gift or interest or love or whatever that may be, the other side shuts down too. So I love when I get to meet those kind of people. And I believe that this podcast, exactly that, folks who are doing the intersection of the different world and combining it, marinating it. And that really leads and open up more opportunity for people to see the world as a whole and create an opportunity to collaborate and to learn from each other and to see the different parts of Earth in a way. And I think that is so powerful. And that is a great, actually, segue into the next question. What do you think is possible when you combine art and science, especially in the field of climate change?
That's a great question. for most, when arts and sciences come together, it brings out social change. And I think that art breaks the barriers of differences between people and cultures and ways of thinking. Art, like food, I believe, brings people together, right? So when concerns are expressed through art, it grabs people's attention and it can jumpstart a conversation where before there was no interest. And not everyone is interested in science. I mean, if we want to be, you know, honest. So not everybody's interested in everything. But surely people would be interested in a piece of art because we're all humans and we all have emotions. So if a piece of art shows how climate change is affecting human beings right now on Earth, and like politicians and corporate institutions, artists do not have that red tape and bureaucratic limitations, so they can fully express themselves and communicate across cultures. So that will come through their art. And I feel like that can jumpstart that conversation where now we are all at the same level because we have united through these pieces of art and it raises awareness. So art is a transdisciplinary change agent, I would say. So it brings together the fields of sciences, business, policy, and politics. And I mean, we've seen many art exhibits of all kinds around the world are revealing in some way the impact of climate change that are taking place. I know that some people were not that aware of the real impacts of climate change until they would see like this big billboard of, you know, some crazy images. And then let's say on the corner, it would say on the name of climate change, you know? And then I have friends that say, I wonder why this artist did this and wrote that. And they'll just like Google it and it will just kind of like trigger the yearn for wanting to know what is happening. And then it opens the doors for a conversation about it.
I agree with that wholeheartedly, because we are able to connect at the human level, right? Also, it goes the other way around too. And obviously, I do not have the scientific background, so I can't speak for them. But sometimes those special terminology, like when people are using it over and over again, people don't know how to say that outside of the jargon. And I see that in politics a lot. When you have such a huge jargon and you're trying to convey to the non-political people, and if you don't know how to communicate that through something so that they can understand what change you're trying to make, there is a disconnect right there. And I think art is that missing piece that we get to connect things together.
Definitely. That's a great point. So it's like, again, like, you know, it unites, it's a platform to unite us in some way, shape or form. But like you said, it really gets ideas across that otherwise would have never gotten across because of language jargon and the way of communicating that is very specific to that area in or industry. And I think that art instigates critical thinking and creative thinking by everyone looking at it. And it triggers a conversation and makes people curious about all these topics that they were not curious before. And you would go like, oh, let me look into this. Let me look into this idea that triggered this piece of art, where it all started. Let me learn about what is behind this piece of art. And then they hopefully end up also engaging in changes that help us live more in balance with Earth.
I love that. So talking about balancing with Earth, you are right now working on a campaign called Be the Wave Against the Climate Change campaign. It's an incredible campaign that is based in Europe. So can you tell us a little bit more about that? And I also want you to share how people can get involved and participate and literally be the change for this movement.
So the campaign is called Be the Wave. You can find it online as hashtag Be the Wave, and it's supported by the EU, by the European Union. But the campaign is global and driven by young activists and seeded by influencers. So climate change is a global challenge, right? But for many people, the challenge is so big that it can quickly become overwhelming. Like a person may say, oh, how am I going to save the ice caps and the world's glaciers and the polar bears, you know? So the idea of the campaign is to let people know that even the smallest action can make a big difference. So by using the hashtag Be the Wave on social media, companies, NGOs, influencers, and each one of us individuals can be a climate change agent. So these challenges are meant to be simple and fun changes that anyone can make in their everyday lives. For example, one might be challenged to unplug unused chargers, not eat meat every day of the month, or switch off their car engine when parked. Others find themselves composting or choosing greener ways to commute or planting trees or whatnot. So like this, the hashtag Be the Wave movement shows that every single person can do a lot to help stop climate change as a society. And the campaign sets the stage for doing so. So when you move the masses, the effects of every single person matter. So we as individuals may feel that we're just one single human being on Earth, which feels small, right? But if we team up, humans can be very powerful collectively. It means we have constructed entire cities, societies, and different cultures. So hashtag Be the Waves is basically turning your one individual effort to combat climate change from a ripple into a wave. So if you want to find more about it and make your own changes to contribute to fighting climate change and post what you are doing, even if it's a small effort, remember it can ripple into a wave. So you can check out the hashtag Be the Wave campaign on Instagram and on the EU's Instagram as well. They also have more information. Their handle is at EU Diplomacy. And you can also take a challenge for the planet.
Yeah, please do check them out. It is very, very exciting to see that people are advocating, not only to advocate the cause itself, but also for the power of individual effort. I think that there's a huge, huge, huge distinction between you preaching for something huge to happen versus encouraging and empowering everybody to say, you actually get to have the power to change this thing. You will have the power to be the change, and you have the power to influence other people. I think that is so powerful. And thank you for sharing about this project, and thank you for being a part of this campaign. And I am so honored when you reached out and said, hey, can we talk about this? And I am so excited and honored to be a part of it as well.
No, thank you. Thank you so much for asking me about that too. I'm glad I had the chance to share that as well. I do believe that everybody can, even if it's something small, we collectively can do so much. Just one human on earth would be just like, you know, one human on earth, but we are billions. And if you see it from outside, it's like, wow, that's huge. So yeah, if we all do just one little thing, we can do a lot together.
Right. And we get to remind ourselves that every single day, and this is a great time to do so. So you already shared about how we can learn more about Be the Wave campaign, but for those folks who want to check out your work as an artist, as a climate activist, how can people find out more about you?
Yes. So I have my own website that I'm working on. You can find it at www.paulinamarinkovic.com. And same, you can find me on Instagram as well, Paulina Marinkovic, but you have to put Marinkovic first. Marinkovic Paulina.
There you go. See, that's a Japanese way of saying it. We put last name first.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, in Japanese, we have, so my name is Yuko Kudo, but when you're speaking in Japanese, it's a Kudo Yuko. We're totally in alignment. I love it. Awesome. So my final question for you, Paulina, what is a call to action that you would like to share with the world right at this moment?
Wow, that is, I guess you saved the biggest question for the last.
Always.
I think that, you know, based on the other questions that you ask and our conversation and how the world is right now, my call to action would be to really make sure that you are happening right now at your fullest and that you're existing at your maximum capacity that you feel and that you want to exist. And as you're doing that, see where you can have an impact. And as you express yourself through life, you will be more connected, because I feel like when you're existing at your fullest, then you're really connected with everything that is around us, and you're connected to Earth. And I'm so passionate about it that I would love to connect that to, you know, the message of climate change too. And it's not just that it's something foreign to us and separate to us, like it's outside. It's us. We are part of this entire Earth. And everything we do to it, it will come back. So it impacts us. So we are really all intertwined. And there is this whole butterfly effect. So I feel like whatever you're doing in whatever industry you are, you will see that there will always be a way for you to contribute, even in the smallest way. And again, and just like, you know, very similar to what I spoke before, like if we all do something that can impact us positively in whatever way it is, we can all collectively exist better as humans. So we can have a better society in terms of health and environment and socially and politically, if we truly all listen to ourselves. So if you can just, you know, I would say that exist at your fullest and maximum capacity that you feel you can right now. And yeah.
I love that. Be you and maximum capacity.
Yeah. And never think that any small thing you do won't matter. Every small smile that you share with the person that is delivering the mail or at the cashier at the supermarket, you don't know that that may actually change their entire day. So like the smallest things, we don't know what effect after we've done something, we don't know what's happening outside, but only the universe will be there as witness to what is really happening. So we can just only do our best and the universe will, you know, take care of the rest.
I'm taking all that in. Taking it all in. Well, thank you so much for sharing this time and sharing your wisdom and calling out this beautiful call to action for everyone. And you're awesome.
Thank you. You are too. Thank you so much for this opportunity. And great questions. It really made me think. And I'm very honored. I am sending you amazing energies. And I am excited to continue to listen to all the podcasts that you constantly put out. I learn so much from all these human experiences. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much.
Go visit www.BelinaMarinkovic.com to learn more about Belina's work and follow her on Instagram at MarinkovicBelina. And please go check out Instagram at EU Diplomacy and participate in hashtag Be the Wave Against the Climate Change campaign. Together, we can make a difference. If you have a story that you want to share, visit www.yukoislovelivelife.com and send me a message. I see you, I hear you, and I love you. Till next story, let's stay connected.